This week's podcast has many exciting events, but I'm hoping that we can focus on a lesson from maybe one of the lesser focus on parts of the Parsha. The end of this week's Parsha discusses the death of Yishmael, who's maybe an unlikely source for inspiration, but I think he can provide us with kind of a very broad lesson about how setbacks in life can hopefully be something that don't derail us, but can provide us actually with the room for growth that we need in order to truly succeed in life. So the end of this week's Parsha says, So what's interesting is that it describes in detail the number of years that Yishmael lived and that he died and then was gathered among his people. So the Gemara understands that the repeated use of the phrase "Vayivav Vayasef" is something that's used to describe tzaddikim. So the Gemara in Bava Basra Daf Zayin Amud Beis discusses a different pasuk in this week's parsha. It says Hashem bereches Avram Bakol. Eventually, we mentioned the fact that Bakol Mikol, that the Avos Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov were blessed with everything. So what does Bakol mean? So the Gemara actually has a big machlokas. I don't really understand the machlokas so well, but there's a bunch of different opinions as to what exactly Avram received that was considered to be bakol, was considered to be everything that he received as his blessing for being on such a high level of connection with Hashem. So one opinion is that the bracha that Avram received of bakol was davar akar she'asa Yishmael tshuva biyamav, that Yishmael, his son, did tshuva during his days. So the Gemara questions, how do we know that Yishmael did tshuva during Avram's lifetime? So the quotes a story. Ravina, Rav Chama, Bravuzi, Hava Yasmi, Kameda, Rava, Vaka, Minam, Name, Rava. So Ravina, Rav Chama, Bravuzi were just sitting and discussing and learning, and Rava was dozing off. He was sleeping. So Amalei Ravina, Rav Chama, Barbuzi, Vaalei Damrisu, Kol Misa Sheish Ba Gvia, Sohi Misasan Shel Tzadikim. Is it really true what you said, that every time the word Vayigva is used to describe someone passing away, that means that person was a tzaddik? Amalei Yehani says yes. Vaha Torah Mabel. The Torah Mabel, it says that it has the word Vayigva. And we know that Dor Mabel were not such great people. They were punished pretty badly. So we say that Anan Gvia Vasifa Kamiran. So we're talking about when it has not only the word Vayigva, but also the word Vayasaf. So that also means something special. So that indicates that the person who was on a higher level was a tzaddik. So my question, Ha Yishmael, the Ksiv Be Gvia Vasifa. By Yishmael, it says Gvia and Asifa. And we know that Yishmael also wasn't such a great guy. So Hachi Isar Behu Rava, Amar Hu Dardiki Hachi Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So at that point, Rava, the teacher, woke up. He said, this is what Rabbi Yochanan told me. Yishmael asa tshuva b'chaye aviv. Shenamar v'ekru so Yitzhak v'Yishmael banav. That really Yishmael at the end of his lifetime did tshuva. That we see in this week's parsha that Yishmael and Yitzchak get back together to bury their father Avraham. And the pasuk says that they buried him, Avraham, Yitzchak v'Yishmael banav. And the pasuk places Yitzchak first before Yishmael, which reflects the fact that although Yishmael was the older brother, he let his brother Yitzchak go first, that Yishmael did tshuva and he recognized that Yitzchak was really the heir of Avram and was the one who was continuing his Mesorah, and therefore he showed him kavod, and from that we see that Yishmael did tshuva. Similarly, or a little bit different, but in last week's Parsha, there's the famous incident where it seems like Yishmael is about to die. His mother leaves him to die, and then there's obviously an intervention, and he's saved. And the question is, why does that happen? So the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah Daf Tezayin Mabez says, "Amar Rabbi Yitzchak ain't done in es Adam elu lefi masav sha'osa sha'a." That we only judge a person according to their actions at that time. Shenamar kishama elokim el kol hanar basher husham. That Hashem listened to the voice of the of Yishmael as he was then. That the idea was that Yishmael was a tzaddik at that point. The Midrash discusses that the Malachim were kind of pleading with Hashem not to save Yishmael, that we know that Yishmael's descendants did some pretty terrible things to Klal Yisrael. And nonetheless, Hashem says that he saves that person because at that time he's not worthy of dying, that we're judged by how we are. But what's interesting is that in the middle of his lifetime, Yishmael obviously did some things that are not considered to be so good. He was considered to be a rasha. And yet, he was still successful by the end of his lifetime of recovering from that and achieving tshuva to the point that the Gemara describes him as a tzaddik and says that was, according to one opinion at least, the special bracha that Avram received of being blessed with hakol. So the question is, I think, how do we, or at least for me, this is more, I guess, for myself than for anyone else, but in life often there's things that we don't expect or we don't want to have happen, and it can be frustrating to deal with what we consider to be a setback. How do we view that in the right way, that it's not something that pushes off totally off our trajectory, but rather something that we can hopefully grow from and can push us forward in our goals in life, and not something that will kind of shatter our dreams and leave us in a state that we can't continue. So I'm going to give a few different examples, I guess. Hopefully people find them helpful. There's a midrash that's quoted in the Hakdama of Ein Yaakov that discusses what is the most important pasuk in the whole Torah. The actual midrash, I'm not sure where it is, but all of the Achronim quote it from the Ein Yaakov. So the Gemara cites three opinions. That there's a pasuk that's the most inclusive pasuk in the whole Torah. So the first opinion is that Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're accepting Hashem. That seems to be maybe the most important pasuk. Another option is v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, love your fellow man as yourself. And then the last opinion is as a keves achat aseh b'boker, as a keves sheni aseh ben arbayim. And we pass in like the third opinion that the most important pasuk in the Torah is the korban tamid, which seems to be maybe surprising at first. But the idea is seemingly that sometimes in life the big events, the first day of Zman, or I don't know, if there's some special activity going on, that can be more inspiring maybe, or something that takes more of our attention. But the consistency to each day, put in the effort and to remain committed, is something that maybe is a higher level. That our consistency and our avodas Hashem is something that allows us to really achieve, even when maybe we don't have that same inspiration that at other times guides us. The Grizz points out that there's a small, maybe seemingly, distinction between the two psukim describing the Korban Tamid, that the pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh describing the first time that the Korban Tamid was brought says, as a keves ha'echa taseh b'boker, as a keves ha'sheni taseh ben arbaim. And then the pasuk in Pinchas says, as a keves ha'echa taseh b'boker, as a keves ha'sheni taseh ben arbaim. Sorry, I realize I read that pretty quickly. The difference is that there's one letter that's different. In the pasuk in Tetzaveh it says ha'echad, and the pasuk in Pinchas it just says echad. The question is, like, why is that relevant? Why does it matter? So there's a Gemara Menachos that discusses the difference between the two, or that's what the Grizz wants to say. The Gemara Menachos says that if, for whatever reason, they didn't offer the Korban Tamid in the morning, they only and they now have a question about whether or not to do the Korban Tamid in the afternoon. So the case depends on whether or not it was the first time that the Korban Tamid was being offered. So then we say that if they missed the first one ever in all of the history of Klal Yisrael, then they're not allowed to do the second part of the Korban Tamid. But in general, even if someone missed, if the Kohanim missed for whatever reason, the first Korban Tamid in the morning, they're allowed to bring the one in the afternoon. I think this actually offers a very important lesson, that sometimes a person can get into a mentality that things are all or nothing. You can think that if I miss like the first thing, so then it's not worth continuing. I've already messed up, I've already made a mistake, I blew bringing the Korban Tamid. We might think that therefore I've lost everything, I can't do the rest of the avoda. But the Gemara teaches us that really it's not all or nothing in life. Often, even if we missed part of something, there's still something meaningful that we can gain by continuing to pursue it, that we're able to still achieve something else. I remember on a similar notion, at the Levaya for Aaron Lichtenstein, one of his sons was discussing a pasuk by the Ner Tamid, where it says, Lahalos Ner Tamid, and he wanted to say that maybe there's like two ways to understand. So it's a little bit technical, I guess, but Lahalos Ner Tamid, you can understand, is either meaning to always be bringing up a Ner Tamid, meaning to always have a candle that's forever burning. Or it can mean that maybe the candle's not always burning, but I'm always striving to raise something up. That the tamid is referring to my action of striving to raise something up and not necessarily to it always being there. Rashi also on that pasuk points out that when we say something is tamid, we say something is constant, that doesn't always mean that it actually is 100% of the time happening. That the Ner tamid wasn't something that was actually lit all the time, but rather every night it was lit again, and that still counts as constant. So even if we come across things that seem to be a setback, that seem to be in the way maybe of where we'd like to be, we don't have to view that as something that has cut us off from what we want to do. We can still view ourselves as having this continuous connection to other things. I think another tool that's valuable is realizing that setbacks are not just something that are, mistakes that we made, but rather that setbacks can be something that help us learn more about ourselves or learn more about what we can do in the future. Obviously, we don't try to have mistakes happen, but when things do happen, then it's important to try and view it as something positive. The Pasuk in Mishlei, Perek Chav Dalad, Pasuk Tazayin, says, Kishava yipol tzadik v'kam, v'shalim mikashu b'ra, that a tzadik falls down seven times. I don't know so much about Kabbalah, but they say seven means like not actually the number seven, but rather means like a continuous process. The idea here being that someone who's a tzaddik, it doesn't mean that they never make a mistake, but rather they fall down, but they get back up. So there's a number of perushim. The Alshech says, Lomar kitaram yipol kfar kam, ki kimasom uchanes milufanov. That the idea is, before he fell down, we already know that he's going to get back up. That someone who's a tzaddik, the special attribute they have is not that they're never going to fall down, but that when they fall down, they're able to rebound and get back up, and they hopefully learn something from the process. Another interpretation is from the Ralbag. Vezeki im takshov lasos tzeloya lebedadcha biadcha. The idea being that sometimes when life is really great, we actually grow a little bit, maybe more distant from Hashem. But when we fall down, sometimes that shows us that we're really dependent on other people, that it's hard for us to accomplish things on our own. But when we're in that struggle, so then when we're able to emerge back from it, it makes us much stronger. This is obviously maybe a more mundane example, but dating myself back in high school, I used to be a Boston sports fan. They did pretty well, Baruch Hashem. But I remember that my grandfather was a Red Sox fan for his whole life, and they never won. And then in 2004, the Red Sox looked like they were about to lose. They lost three games in the ALCS to the Yankees, so it looked like they were pretty much done for. Sorry, if anyone's from England, I don't know, best out of seven. So if you've lost three games, you're one away from elimination. For us, though, I guess, I don't know if people know or not, but the Red Sox then went on to win the World Series. They won four games in a row. They won the next four games. They won the whole thing. And from that process, like, they then became a much better team. It was also obviously more enjoyable for us to like have gone through that experience of thinking that they're about to lose. So then it makes it maybe a better experience when they actually win. Part of the idea of, I guess, a setback also is that if you know that, included, I thought like, oh, I'll come to Yeshiva Shana Aleph, I'll push like a button of like learning Torah and Avodas Hashem, and then the rest of my life will just be like uphill, I'll keep going and I won't ever have any like problems and nothing will ever seem to be going badly. But usually in life, I guess we saw with Yishmael, not everything works like that. You have ups and downs. The important thing is to know that there'll be parts that are not as good, and not to let that make you think that everything is worthless, everything is not worth pursuing. There's a famous economist, Daniel Kahneman, an Israeli economist who won the Nobel Prize. So he, at one point, was giving advice to the American Air Force, and he was talking to a flight instructor who said that he was very frustrated with his pilots. That he would have certain pilots who do an extraordinary flight, and he would praise them, and then afterwards, their next flight would not be as good. And other times, he would have a pilot who would do a bad job, and he would yell at them, and then the next time, they would do much better. So he's saying, it seems like yelling at people really gets things done, and praising them doesn't. But Daniel Kahneman pointed out that there's an idea in statistics called regression to the mean. The basic idea being that someone is going to do something more or less the same way most of the time, but it's possible that one day they'll have a really great day and do a better job, or one day they'll have a lousy day and they won't do as good a job. But recognizing that you kind of have this like midpoint of success makes it so that when you have days that are up or down, so then you know what to expect. So the way it related back to the pilots is that someone who did a really great job, so they were doing above their mean. They're doing better than they're supposed to be doing. So then it's natural that the next day they're not going to do as well. Also, the person who did worse than he was supposed to, so that was him having a bad day. But the next day he's going to accomplish closer to his mean, so that'll be better. So the instructor's advice didn't really like help out so much. It's more that people have kind of a norm that they are able to achieve. And recognizing that you'll have fluctuations makes it so that when you have those days, you don't think that you're totally off, but rather that you're just having a day that maybe is a little bit harder or a little bit more challenging. I think what's important is to try and advance that mean so that you reach a stage where you're happy with where you are and where you don't think that the slightest setback will throw you off track. Obviously, if you're small, it's able to pull off having this recovery from being a rusher to then being a tzaddik again, so I think all of us are as well. It's also possible that sometimes having a setback will give you the drive or the ambition to achieve more than you would have otherwise. I guess again with a sports example, one of the more depressing days in high school was the Patriots had won 18 straight games. Sorry, this is again American football, but sorry, Theo and I know each other for a long time. And then they lost in the Super Bowl, so that was kind of depressing for all of us in high school at the time. But I think then that probably gave the team more of the drive to then accomplish another three Super Bowls since then than they maybe would have done if they had actually won that game and had a perfect season. Sometimes having no setbacks can make it so that you're complacent in life and you don't recognize that you're able to achieve more and more. I guess a personal example, in eighth grade, I think, in high school they had, I guess, regulars and honors tracks for classes. So I was in honors for Lumud Gosh and I was in regulars for Lumud Chol. And I remember we had like some book report assignment where the teacher had like brought in another kid's like essay as an example afterwards, is like the ideal essay to like copy. And I remember feeling kind of depressed that like my essay wasn't picked for that. So I decided that for like the next essay I was going to write like the best essay I possibly could. And they went like very well, Baruch Hashem. That like inspired me to then like put in more effort into my like schoolwork and moved up to honors, and Baruch Hashem like was successful in high school. And then, sorry, that wasn't meant. Okay. Sorry, that wasn't meant to be. The point, I guess, is that sometimes having like a setback can encourage you to pursue something in a deeper way. There's quotes from, I guess, like other people as well that they say Thomas Edison, who was inventing the light bulb, tried 10,000 times to make the correct light bulb, and he wasn't able to. And only once he had tried all those times did he actually have success in making the one that worked. But he didn't view it as failures. He just said, I found 10,000 ways that won't work. And often in life, we think that we failed or we perceive ourselves as failing, even though really maybe we're close now or closer to succeeding. Another example, I guess, from science is that there was a famous space mission called Apollo 13 where the mission itself was a total failure. There was a mechanical problem that made it so that the astronauts were not able to land on the moon. But nonetheless, the mission itself was maybe a success because through that process they learned certain resiliency for the team, and also NASA was able to learn new techniques. The idea about, I guess, accepting setbacks is a good thing, but I think on the other hand it's important to still have high aspirations and high goals for ourselves. In the Sefer Chovas Talmidim, the Pesachner Rebbe discusses that it's not enough to just say that I'll be like an okay person. I'll just accept like whatever I'm given in school, and that will just be what it is. But rather, each of us has our own personal responsibility to make sure that we push ourselves to become the greatest person we can be. That doesn't mean that we all have to do the same thing, or we all have to strive for the same thing. But rather, to realize that we're not able to just like pin on others our successes. Like, oh, my chavrusa wasn't so great, so that's why I didn't accomplish enough. Rather, to accept responsibility and that. Realizing that we ourselves have like the keys to make it so that it works out for us if we want to achieve greatness for whatever that may be. And again, in terms of the setbacks, there's a famous piece from Miftah Me'Eliyahu that probably people are familiar with called about the Nekudas Bechira. The idea being I guess another sports analogy, that if you have the line of scrimmage, so you want to always advance that further and further until you eventually get a touchdown. But the idea is that if you have a struggle at a certain spot in life, so hopefully that won't be the spot that you're stuck in for the rest of your life. That if you're struggling with coming to dominating on time, so hopefully you can devise certain tools so that you won't encounter that same problem every day. I guess one bit of advice for that is that sometimes it's easier to see how to help someone else's problem than your own problem. Sometimes it's helpful if you think about what advice you would give to your roommate. I guess, like, I don't know, if your roommate's like sleeping through their alarm, so it's very easy to say, oh, they should just go to bed earlier. They shouldn't be like, I'm on their phone so long. They shouldn't go out every time someone comes into town. They don't need to go out with like 30 guys to get a free meal. But when it's like myself who's sleeping in, so then it can be more challenging. It's like much more easy for us to empathize and to justify hitting the snooze button when it's ourselves than like my roommate doing so. So sometimes if we think of what advice would I give to my friend, that can be a tool to help us have greater clarity and advice for ourselves. And the idea with the Mikta Meliyahu is that we should strive to raise our level of Nikus Bechira to a higher point. I guess just in a conclusion or in a general sense, we see from Yishmael that even someone who strays very far from what they're supposed to be doing still has the ability to recover and become a tzaddik by the end of their lives. And I think the key to doing so is to realize that when we have setbacks, that doesn't mean that our lives are over, it doesn't mean that we're not able to succeed, but rather we have the ability to continue forward and maybe even to learn from the process. We see often in the Korban Tami, there's an idea that even if you miss part of something, that doesn't mean you have to miss everything. And I guess in a practical sense, my advice would be that sometimes in learning, it can be hard to keep up with everything. And sometimes people can think that, oh, if I didn't understand like one part of Shir, so then I'm not going to really understand tomorrow and I can kind of tune out. So I'd say that's not really true, that even if you understand part of something, one of my rabbis once said that even part of a gem is still worth a lot of money. If you're able to understand part of Shir, understand one more thing, not to give up just because one thing in the beginning of Seder didn't go well, that doesn't mean that the rest of your day has to be less than ideal. And another idea that we saw from Mishle is that sometimes in life we'll fall down. That's inevitable. But if we know that we're going to get back up, we have that mindset that even if I encounter a setback, I'm still able to be resilient and overcome it. So that can help us also, knowing ahead of time that we're going to have something bad come in life. Sorry, we don't want anything bad to happen, but knowing ahead of time that it's natural for there to be setbacks can make it easier when we encounter them to then overcome them. And also, sometimes when we have setbacks in life, that can give us the drive or the push we need to help us realize what we really are able to accomplish, that we're able to do more than maybe we thought, and help us achieve a higher level. So my bracha, I guess, is hopefully everyone will not have too many setbacks, but when we do, to know how to successfully go mechayel chayel and to continue in avodas Hashem.